Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit SurreyFarms.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Phil Colicchio, and we are broadcasting live here on the Heritage Radio Network in Bushwick, Brooklyn. You're listening to The Business of the Business. This is the program that explores the business side of the hospitality world, restaurants, hotels, and all the good things that go with the hospitality industry. We air every Wednesday at 5 p.m., and if you miss us, and I can't imagine that you would ever really miss a live broadcast, you can go to www.heritageradionetwork.org, click on to the Business of the Business, and you can hear us archived. We also come along as a podcast on iTunes. Today we're going to explore the Hakkasan Restaurant Group, and in particular the Hakkasan Restaurant located here in New York City on 43rd Street. A little background is required because Hakkasan is truly a unique restaurant group begun with an extraordinary vision and has been empowered and infused with new ownership over the last few years and has truly become a world-renowned business. In 1990, a young fellow by the name of Alan Yao, who is Hong Kong-born and London-raised, graduated from university, which is how they refer to it over there, and did what any hard-working young man might do whose family was in the small-time restaurant business. He enrolled in the McDonald's franchisee program. But this young man was no burger flipper. He had a real sense of design, had a real sense of hospitality. He took that information that he learned in the franchise program back to the UK and began to employ it with East Asian cuisine. And out of that experience came the Wagamama Noodle Shop, which I'm sure you've heard of. It was really the first of the faster food noodle shops that have become popular in the U.S. and Europe, inspired our local groups like Mr. David Chang in creating the Momofuku brand. But Alan quickly turned Wagamama from a local sensation into an international sensation, and within a couple of years, they were in the U.S., Australia, and Dubai. You'd think that a young guy with that kind of good fortune might kick back and relax, but no way. In 2000, the year 2000, he began working on a higher-end concept. He realized that there was really nothing in either the U.K. or anywhere he had been that was taking Asian sensibility and classic Chinese Cantonese cooking and presenting it with a current design and a current set of sensibilities. He took a big step and he hired the brilliant designer Christian Laguerre and began to engage specialty chefs from all over China and Southeast Asia in what is not a chef-driven restaurant to create this incredible Cantonese cuisine served in the truest of fine dining traditions. Hakkasan got a little bit of attention when it opened. It got a Michelin star, which is still the only Asian Chinese Cantonese restaurant to achieve that that incredible recognition. Hakkasan continued to get awards for design, continued to get awards for excellent quality, and became the darling of the well-heeled European set in London. In 2008, the restaurant and the brand was so powerful in Europe that Tasameem, which is the Abu Dhabi Investment Authority, acquired the controlling share of the company for an astounding $58 million. That was extraordinary at the time. There were only two Hakkasan restaurants open at that time. But the goal was to grow, and grow they have done. Today, Hakkasan has two locations in London, three locations in the United States. San Francisco, I believe, is just about open. Three in the Middle East, and they even have an outpost in India. In 2011, the Hakkasan Group acquired Sake no Hana and has brought Japanese cuisine into its fold. Today, I am very fortunate to have two representatives from Hakkasan with me, Eric Kramer, who's the assistant general manager of the incredibly successful and beautiful Hakkasan New York, and his colleague Simone Berger, who is the marketing manager. Good afternoon, both of you. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
You're very, very welcome. So, Eric and Simone, you have a real challenge and a real opportunity taking on this great big city of ours with its fascination with chefs and with cuisine, bringing an internationally renowned brand into the city, yet making it feel like a New York restaurant. Has that been an easy task so far, Eric?
No, not at all, because in New York, to find a restaurant of our quality with high-end Chinese and the gorgeous space, I think a lot of people are, you know, we still haven't really got out to the entire New York area, and I think we're really starting to, you know, build on a real big high right now as business has been, you know, showing real great signs of increasing every single night. And as it being a tough location that people do say, we are getting a lot of people from downtown, from all over New York, from New Jersey, from Connecticut as well, that have either been to London, been to Miami,
right,
and been all over and have been really just,
right,
you know, excited to come.
Well, I'm going to respectfully suggest that it's an excellent location. There was a calculated decision to put that restaurant on West 43rd Street. And that calculated decision, I know, had to do with both the west side of New York City. They wanted to be involved, the ownership wanted to be involved in a continuing area of development in this city. And it's in the theater district. And as we found out recently, 67% of theater goers are tourists in this city. And that means that they're going to have heard of Hakkasan. Also, West 43rd Street was an interesting little dividing line with our recent bout with Sandy. Did the restaurant, Eric, have to close?
Yes, unfortunate. It was a horrible day for all of New York. And
yeah,
just to say as well, my thoughts and prayers go out to everyone that was affected by the storm. Number one, we were closed on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and we were able to reopen on Wednesday.
Now, what happened when you reopened?
The big challenge was getting staff into the restaurant. Number one, we didn't have too many covers that night, but when people were calling the restaurant and heard we were open in the area, we made it happen with a very minimal staff, and it was pretty much all managers, all hands on deck. And
you had electricity.
We had electricity.
And everything to the east of you and downtown didn't. That must have created, oddly, an opportunity. Did you see your covers rise? Did you see? Big acres?
We were blessed and thankful, you know, for, you know, that nothing had happened. We had no, nothing had happened to the restaurant that day. And we did see that the covers did rise as the day was on, as people were calling. And I feel like, you know, there are a lot of people, and I have a lot of friends that live downtown that do live in the Lower East Side and Lower West Side, that they do say they never go above 14th Street.
Yeah, there's a snobbery. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. There's a snobbery because there's a sense, or there's at least a reputation, that the great restaurants in this city are downtown, and that people don't come to Midtown or come to this West Side area. So, Simone, let me ask you, as the marketing manager, here you were in a week that was insane by any definition. Your restaurant was introduced to a whole new group of customers and clients. What have you done to try to maintain that momentum, to try to make sure that those people had a great experience, to try and make sure that they're going to keep coming back to Hakkasan?
Mm-hmm. Well, like Eric mentioned, the storm did give us a lot of exposure to people who would have may have not come up above 14th Street. But some of the things that we have done is, you know, we've launched a couple of new menus. We launched our Taste of Hakkasan prefix lunch menu, which is a great three-course menu at $29.
Wow.
We also launched a brunch menu, a weekend brunch menu with a great assortment of our dim sum selection at $39. And,
right.
You know, we've been reaching out and promoting these new menus. And
right. You know, there's also something else you did that I know you're too professional to mention, so I'll mention it. When the storm came, there's a charity event that was going to go off in the city for the T.J. Martell Foundation, which is a research foundation for cancer that affects children. And a number of restaurants that had donated dinners as auction items were impacted by the storm. And the board of trustees of the foundation did not feel as if they could ask them to honor the donations because, frankly, their years had been scrapped. Your restaurant stepped up and made significant donations to that charitable cause, really because I know you recognized that in a natural disaster, you got lucky. You didn't lose power. You didn't have to close for 10 days. And New York City appreciates that type of sensibility when you stand up for your colleagues in the restaurant industry. So I want to make sure everybody knows that. I want to thank you for doing that. And I know that groups that couldn't do their donations this year are thanking you each day that goes by. So you're part of this city. You know, you're not some outside force that came in to show New York how Chinese is supposed to be done. That being said, when you opened, that was the treatment you got here, that you were outsiders coming in with attitude. Do you think you've overcome that? All right.
Yeah, I do actually.
Yeah.
We are the type of restaurant that critics love to hate. So I kind of feel like when it comes to that, we're from the UK. We are a large space. We have a DJ that plays 5-6 nights a week. So it's a different atmosphere in the restaurant. But it was challenging from the opening.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've had to make some strides and some changes, you know,
yeah,
with our menu and, you know, with other things that Simone had mentioned about, you know, trying to get out there with our pre-theater menu and our dim sum brunch and really trying to, you know, show the New Yorkers that we're not all about super high end.
Right. The one of the things that I've learned in doing this show is that restaurateurs universally learn from opening mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
There is no such thing as an easy, smooth, wonderful opening. Simone, some of the things that happened to Hakkasan were actually funny in many respects. We were talking about a story where you told me that when you opened up, the first page of the menu showed a $900 item.
Yeah, we had our supreme dishes featured on the right. First page. But
tell it, what it, now, so what is a supreme dish?
Well, we have an abalone dish, a Chinese delicacy.
It's an everyone delicacy.
So when we first opened, our menu featured all of our supreme dishes on the first page.
Right.
But since then, we've learned, you know, not as having that initial price point on the first page doesn't really come across as being such an approachable restaurant. Yeah.
This is a business show.
Absolutely.
And so, you know what? We're talking about the little bitty mistakes that get made in business. And it probably turns some people off quickly. But a little bit of juggling probably got it back on. Do you feel like now that message is getting across in a louder and clearer way?
I think we're making strides. It's still, you know, we're it's definitely, it's coming across, but we still mm-hmm. have some work to do.
Eric, we're in this crazy chef-driven city. You've got some of the best chefs in the world in your kitchen. Nobody knows their name. Is that a business strategy?
We have phenomenal top chefs from Southeast Asia and China, and they pride themselves on their technique of making every single dim sum exactly how they do it, and every single dish. Our kitchen's gorgeous, and they really work. I mean, they work as such a great team. We're trying to get to be like a machine in the kitchen, and we're getting there, I mean, with our business, you know, increasing and everything. But a restaurant like Hakkasan doesn't really need a big-time super chef.
And I think, you know what, I think personally, I think that's great, because I think that the more that the restaurant lets people know that we've got world-class talent in our kitchen, and it's not about them individually, it's not about their individual personas or egos or television shows. That might sound strange coming from me, but it's not about that. It's really about the consistent quality of the product that you're putting out in your restaurant. Folks, we're here today with Eric Kramer and Simone Berger from the Hakkasan Restaurant Group. We're going to take a short break right now after we hear a little bit from our sponsor. We're going to come back and talk about how the restaurant is changing, how it's addressing its New York clientele, and what they're going to expect going into 2013. Phil Colicchio on the heritageradionetwork.org, the business of the business. We'll be back shortly.
You're listening to Delivery Man by Huntronic on the heritageradionetwork.org.
Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit www.surreyfarms.com.
Hey, we're back here on the Heritage Radio Network. Phil Colicchio with the business of the business. I'm here with the Hakkasan Restaurant Group's talented management team here in New York. Eric Kramer and Simone Berger. Eric, during the break, we were watching these people eat this incredible pizza outside the window here of the studio. Yes. You know, and I actually teased you, and I said, "Man, Roberta's really should get a Michelin star, don't you think?" You know, and you laughed, but you said you have no idea how important that star is to a group that comes out of Europe. Tell me about that, because I understand that to get a Michelin star, you've got to be at the very top of your game. But no Chinese, no Cantonese-style restaurant in the world had ever received one until Hakkasan. Tell me about that.
Well, as we said in the beginning, you know, we definitely got we had a little rough time with the critics, but you know, we were
in New York.
We were thrilled, you know, to get recognized from the Michelin Guide to give us our one Michelin star on our food.
Yeah.
There are you know, you can get up to 3 stars, but the food is, you know, is one of those things with our executive chef, Chef Ho, and he prides himself on, and now with the new San Francisco opening as well, I know he's striding for
2 stars.
He's going for 2 stars now, so.
Well, that's what chefs do. They want to be recognized for what they are putting into their food. Simone, a Michelin star has got to be a great rock upon which to build the church of Hakkasan here in New York. Tell me about how you're using it in a business sense, mm-hmm. to make people stand up and take notice.
Well, just the recognition itself, you know, it definitely, we've seen an increase in our volume.
Mm-hmm.
And it's incredible to have the opportunity to really showcase our food to people who haven't experienced it before. Yep. And, you know, we're definitely, we're building on that. We're building relationships with people when they're in for the first time. You know, ensuring that they have a seamless dining experience.
That's terrific. You know what? I also know that you have been tasked with group operations, mm-hmm. within the restaurant. I've been in the restaurant. I've been in 4 different Hakkasan restaurants around the world. It's an incredible experience to be able to sit there with 8 to 10 of your friends or your colleagues and have this incredible dining experience. Interestingly enough, my cousin Tom opened up Kraft Restaurant 10 or 11 years ago, and his concept of hospitality included sharing of dishes.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of what Hakkasan is
about,
definitely.
Isn't
it? Tell me about it.
Our chef has designed 4 different menus for large groups to choose from, parties of 10 or more, and they feature 3 courses. That have a great assortment of our signature dishes. And all of the items that are listed on the menu are served to the table. So guests get between 7 and 9 dishes to share.
Eric, is that challenging from a service standpoint?
It's very challenging, especially, you know, with the Michelin star, we're obviously we're held to very high standards as
right.
well. So, you know, making sure everybody's on their game every day. And, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a challenge, but it's a challenge that the whole management team and the entire team of Hakkasan New York is, you know, we're prepared for and we're,
you know,
ready.
That's interesting, because I'm not sure that I'm going to go back and take a look. You might also be the only shared plate restaurant in the United States with a Michelin star. I'm not aware that any other mm-hmm. group in the city that does family style service. And family-style sharing has achieved that. That's a good note to go back and take a look at. Well, the Michelin star is great, but, you know, as Reggie Jackson once said, you got to put the tails in the seats. So what are you doing specifically now to let people know that you've got one of the world's greatest Asian restaurants sitting right here on 43rd Street? Come on in. You told us about mm-hmm. changing some of the dynamics and pricing. Where else are you going with it?
We're partnering up with a lot of our theater neighbors.
Great.
Yeah, we're also working with the concierge community. We're also ensuring that we have a strong presence at New York food and beverage events.
Terrific. That's exactly what a good neighbor does. And Eric, we were talking a little bit before. You know, you appropriately, I think, said we got a bit of a bad deal when we opened up, and immediately people just said, well, they're too expensive for Chinese food. You know, New York wasn't quite ready for that exactly. But oddly, it was the critics who invited this restaurant into this town, because they said that there's nothing else like it in the United States. Are you able now to feel confident that in 2013, the rest of this city is really going to understand that?
Yes, actually. I think that, you know, we really are getting our name out there with everything that Simone is, you know, putting all the work towards, as well as, you know, being in more magazines and, you know, really just being out there in New York. But I feel like, you know, 2013 is going to be a good year, really riding the ship of December, of our really busy month that we're having right now. And going into the new year, people are really, you know, they're really becoming, you know, aware about our restaurant, and, you know, people are making it over to, you know, Hell's Kitchen is an up and coming neighborhood.
It is.
And I just moved there about 3 months ago. So I live a couple blocks from the restaurant, and really there's a lot of stuff going on. So there's a lot of foot traffic, and, you know, with our getting your name out there, I think, you know, we're in great shape.
Okay. So a serious business question that comes up in this situation. Your company is known for importing specialty chefs into their kitchens specifically from Southeast Asia, from Singapore, Malaysia, Vietnam, China. That's an expensive proposition. How does the restaurant put that into their operating costs and still make money? I mean, we're talking about a business that needs to be profitable. But, I mean, those things are expensive. Visas are expensive. Having a large kitchen staff is expensive. You're the assistant GM. How's that cost managed?
It's managed well with our West Coast operations that are opening up soon. We do send our top chefs of the restaurant to open up our other establishments, San Francisco as of right now, and, you know, L.A. and Vegas to come for next year as well. And I mean, it's really managing cost-wise. You have to monitor how many covers you have every day and every night, see how many people you need on each shift. You know, we do have a pretty large kitchen from what I've seen in a lot of restaurants in New York. It's pretty amazing, actually, with our wok stations and our dim sum stations.
It's an extraordinary thing to see. And again, happen to know about the philosophy behind it, and the key components, the training and the expertise of the trainers. It occurs to me as you speak that what you have with these master chefs that are here on J-1 visas, and for those of you who don't know, the only way that you can get a J-1 visa, which allows you to work here in the United States as an expert in something, that doesn't come around too often. You really actually have to go through a hearing with immigration to establish your expertise. It occurs to me that your company uses these master chefs who are here on J-1 visas as assets, and they train the other chefs. So you've got the outpost in Miami, you've got the outpost in New York, you've got the outpost in San Francisco now. When you work for this company, are you working for the whole company, or are you just working with your unit, Simone?
Well, you're working for the brand, for the entire company.
Yeah. Do you see yourself staying with the company over the long haul? Because again, you've got this international brand here that you get to work with. It's a pretty, I mean, I find your position in the company to be fascinating. No offense, Eric, to yours. Yours is, I know, the day to day grind, but to have this incredible asset to market, at this stage of your career.
Yeah, definitely.
It's got to be exciting.
It is very exciting. And, you know, I definitely plan to stay with the company for a long period of time. And who knows what will happen. You know, there is, like, like we've been mentoring, there's a lot of locations opening up on the West Coast, so you never know.
What's the
I've been in New York for the past 12 years, and I don't plan on leaving anytime soon. I love this city.
Oh, that's great. And, and you know what? I know, having been in this business for the last 20 years, that this city is gonna love your restaurant.
Definitely.
Because you're not going anywhere. I know you got a 20-year lease on that space. I know that you've made that building really valuable because of the capital improvements that were made there. I know that the company is not backing away from New York, so I know you've got an exciting opportunity. We're going to wrap up in a couple of minutes. Before we do, I do want to give you an opportunity. Part of the business, of the restaurant business, is marketing. Give me a minute and tell me why people should get their tails into those seats. What else is like that in New York? What other experience can they get in New York like yours at Hakkasan?
And you just said it. Sorry. You just said it, actually. I don't think there's much competition now for higher-end Chinese restaurant. And, you know, we do pride ourselves on our service and our food, and the atmosphere of the restaurant when you walk in is out of this world, with the marble and, you know, with the DJ playing good music, and when you walk in and see our 60-foot bar, and with our spirits and our fine spirits.
And that is one hell of a cocktail list you have there.
Yeah, we have an amazing cocktail program as well that we offer, that a lot of restaurants that I've seen in New York, for places I've worked for, they don't have that. So we have a lot to offer.
Well, I'll sneak in a plug for your bar and tell you that if you don't go try that Chinese mule, you're missing out. It's a hell of a drink. It's a hell of a drink. Simone,
I think it's also, you know, just to add on to what Eric was saying, it's our attention to detail in every single component that we put out there. Yep. From the aromas when you walk in the door, the music, our cuisine, our service is unparalleled.
I think the design is unique. I think the transportative quality that exists when a guest walks in the door and has this hallway in front of them, where if it's the first time you've been to the restaurant, you're really taking a little adventure. You're taking a leap of faith. That's the design. And you walk to the end of the hall, you open the door, and this beautiful, beautiful piece of artwork is in front of you, this design of this beautiful restaurant. Folks, we've been talking today with Eric Kramer and Simone Berger of the Hakkasan restaurant here in New York. Please give us the exact address and the phone number and your email.
Yeah, it's 311 West 43rd Street. That's between 8th and 9th Avenue. Telephone number is 212-776-1818. And you can email us at info@hakkasannyc.com.
Hakkasan is HAKKASAN. I've had the privilege of working with your company for the last several years. I've had the privilege of spending time with Mr. Yao in London, and your current management team out of the UK. It's an extraordinary company. It's an extraordinary business story. The story in New York is still being written. Eric and Simone, thank you for spending time with us today. Good luck in 2013. And keep being a good neighbor. You know, this is a town of people who are not from here, and they work hard to make it. Mm-hmm. So I know you guys are doing that, and I know your team is doing that, and I look forward to hearing from you in 2013 and hopefully seeing another Michelin star for you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming by today. Phil Colicchio, the business of the business here on the heritageradionetwork.org. See you all next week. What do you say we get a little of this pizza, guys?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.